You're listening to Central Florida Seen and Heard, Rising Water. Hi, I'm Molly Durig, environment reporter for Central Florida Public Media. This is the second episode of a special podcast expanding on our newsroom's reporting on water management in a Central Florida that's changing fast. This is episode 2 of Central Florida Seen and Heard, Rising Water, part 2. Let's start with a quick recap. Last episode, we learned how the St. Johns River's low elevation contributes to flooding, and so do bottleneck points along the river where water slowly builds up. Slow is the key word there. The St. Johns River is known as one of the world's laziest rivers, adding to flooding risks. Now, before we get too far into this week's episode, there's a term you're going to hear quite a few times early on that I need to define. It's watershed, or basin. It's basically the place where all the water in a certain area eventually drains. The St. Johns River Water Management District's ability to control water levels is limited in the river's middle basin in Central Florida.
We can't pull a plug and drain the river.
That's Tim Miller with the Water Management District. The river's middle basin stretches across 5 Central Florida counties and 5 key smaller drainage basins or watersheds emptying into the river.
So in terms of water control in the Central Florida area, we're relying on that floodplain and wetlands.
One of those 5 major watersheds in the St. Johns River Middle Basin is Lake Jessup in Seminole County. Exactly 2 weeks after Hurricane Milton, the wilderness area on the lake's north shore is still closed to the public. The parking lot is so flooded, it blends into the lake. An airboat takes us from the flooded street into Lake Jessup this morning when I'm out here with Water Management District staff. Alex Roberts with the district is driving the airboat. He says wetlands are effective floodplains.
The biggest thing that we can do for Lake Jessup is actually increasing that floodplain. So the more area we have of wetlands around the lake to help absorb some of that initial flood of water, the better.
The district works to acquire and conserve floodplains in Central Florida. As of now, about 8,500 acres of floodplain conservation lands around Lake Jessup are in public hands between the district and Seminole County. Roberts is showing me some of that floodplain conservation land right now. He takes us on the airboat to a spot that almost looks like it's supposed to be dry land. There's palm trees and some long grass popping up through the water. But right now, these wetlands are basically part of the lake, meaning they're doing exactly what wetlands are supposed to do, by gradually absorbing excess water.
We are now approximately, 100 feet maybe from the actual dry shoreline. 10 months out of the year, the shoreline would be back where those lily pads were.
Right now though, if we were to jump out of the airboat, the water would be up to our knees.
And if you were to build a house out here, this is what would happen. And that's something we need to keep in mind, is that some of these areas are just supposed to do this. This is what we need them to do.
It's why Robert says land conservation is so important for the Water Management District.
The biggest thing to know is that with Florida, the way our water flows throughout the state, not just in St. Johns River, the land and the water are very intrinsically tied together, and the more preservation we have, the better.
Just a bit north from here in Volusia County, all 3 St. Johns River basins converge. In Volusia, flooding during hurricanes and more everyday strong rainfall events is pushing people to the limit. My colleague Lillian Hernandez-Caraballo has been following those flooding issues. She's Central Florida Public Media's housing and homelessness reporter and a Report for America Corps member. Lillian reports many Volusia County residents and some officials say unfettered development is making flooding worse. Newer communities are being built up on higher ground than older communities nearby, sometimes right next door, sometimes in the same neighborhood. Take a listen to this clip of a story Lillian reported for Central Florida Seen and Heard in May. You'll hear from Lillian after first hearing from Wendy Anderson, an environmental science professor at Stetson University.
Sawyer's Landing is the neighborhood inside our neighborhood that is not our neighborhood.
The small subdivision is a horseshoe with some 90 homes built on what original plans show was meant to be left untouched as natural wetlands. But the project switched hands.
The original developers here were not going to develop it because it was originally wetlands, but the people they sold it to didn't have any problem doing that.
Here's the thing. Wetlands hold a lot of water. According to the Environmental Protection Agency, 1 acre of wetlands can hold up to 1.5 million gallons of water. Houses and even the most permeable concrete can't do that.
Lillian was talking with Wendy Anderson, who's also an appointed member of Volusia County's NRAC, the Environment and Natural Resources Advisory Committee. That Citizens Committee advising County Council on environmental standards was nearly voted down twice this year. Most recently, in September, a tie vote from council members saved the committee. But the Environmental Committee's future in the long term is still unclear ahead of the election for Volusia County Council Chair, which voters will decide in a matter of days. Incumbent Council Chair Jeff Brower has made a name for himself, being tough on development and pushing for stronger environmental regulations. He says NRAC is important, partly because the committee includes a range of people all representing different interests in Volusia County.
It's a good cross-section, and they're really taking their time looking at all the issues we just talked about, flooding, you know, trees, comp plan.
Brower says the committee's work is just getting started. Brower's opponent, Randy Dye, indicates he supports the Citizens Environmental Advisory Committee, but stops short of committing to it.
At the end of the day, I think if we can help our government be more efficient by eliminating bureaucracy, of course. But man, that one's tough. I would say that would be an awful tough one to say goodbye to.
Meanwhile, Volusians say they're tired of paying the price for the county's explosive growth. Hurricane Milton dropped 15 inches of rain in some parts of the county, flooding out residents. My colleague Lillian Hernandez-Caraballo caught up with some who are all too familiar with the flooding and some new Volusia County residents who were totally caught off guard. Take a listen to part of that story from Lillian now.
We need to stop it. We need to put a moratorium on building anywhere in Volusia County. Anywhere.
That's Pat Jocelyn, cheered on at a county meeting last week by a packed room of residents who say they've had it with the floods.
You're supposed to hold your water. You're not supposed to put it on your neighbor. They're not holding their water. So we are their reservoir, and that's what this is.
Jocelyn and her husband, John, run Common Ground Farms just off East Taylor Road. The couple lost half their crops 2 years ago when rainfall from Hurricanes Ian and Nicole left their land flooded for over a month. This year, they say they poured hundreds of thousands of dollars into their land, installing underground pumps, filling in berms with hundreds of pounds of dirt, and digging their own retention pond. Ultimately, none of it helped much. Jocelyn was struggling to find the right words.
This is way past sad. This is despair. I guess that's the right word. This is despair. We've all been here years and years and years and years and years. And until those two subdivisions, they all went in, we started flooding.
East Taylor Road has been closed off to traffic because it's mostly underwater. Jocelyn is standing out on its only dry spot to show off her farmland, which now full of water is reflecting her home in the sky. A pickup truck approaches, and it's Jocelyn's neighbors from across the street, Pam and Mark Teeter. They stop and share their own flood story.
We just kept watching the water come closer and closer. I said, we're going to have to get out of here because I got really scared, you know. There was nothing we could do.
The retired couple bought the home in July when they moved down here from North Carolina. Teeter says she now feels duped as they bought the house before a new Florida law went into effect this month, requiring sellers to disclose a property's flood risks. She says the home is not livable right now. They're staying with friends and facing up to a $12,000 deductible for the damages. On top of that, the Volusia County property appraiser estimates the Teeters will be paying more than $10,000 in property taxes this year, which includes their stormwater management fee.
We are devastated. You know, yeah, we can clean up this time, but is it going to do it every single time? We can't sustain that.
Out of eight county council members, the residents say only three have been really willing to listen, including the county chair, who has championed their demands from the beginning. See, these developments aren't in the county. They're on annexed land in the neighboring city of DeLand. And DeLand is growing. According to the U.S. Census Bureau, over the last 13 years, the city has increased its number of households by nearly 38%. The city has long held that these communities are built responsibly, adhering to some of the strictest stormwater management standards in the region. But they've also been responsive to the complaints. In the past year, the city corrected a setting on a water pump that was keeping water levels too high in one retention pond. They also paid a private engineer to run a study of the area. However, this week, Community Information Manager Chris Graham validated the residents' concerns for the first time.
One thing that the city will be looking at is we have had development over the past several years, and I think you can logically come to the conclusion that the development did perhaps contribute to some of the flooding.
But Graham says that's just one part of the story. Although he acknowledges a potential impact after decades of growth, he also points out storms are more intense. They're stronger now with record-setting rainfall. He says the lower-lying communities in the county would have likely flooded this season, whether the city developments were there or not.
There are several other factors. When you look at what we saw in terms of rainfall from Hurricane Milton, we had 18.32 inches of rain here in DeLand in a 24-hour period. And there are not many, if any at all, stormwater systems that can handle that kind of volume within that amount of time.
Graham says mitigating floods is a future conversation for the city and that he expects progress over the next few years. In the meantime, residents are asking for help, saying they want to see the city and county coordinating solutions instead of shifting responsibility to each other. Some homeowners say they would like to be bought out of their homes, while others, including disabled and elderly residents, are simply at a loss, not knowing what to do next.
We're just overwhelmed and I don't know where to turn.
A spokesperson for the county says they've contracted an engineering consultant to develop a hydrology model for the north side of East Taylor Road, right where the Teeters live.
That was my colleague Lillian Hernandez-Caraballo and some of her recent reporting on flooding and development in Volusia County. It's an issue that's anything but simple, just like the one we'll be diving into in our next episode. Next time, we'll explore how flooding in Central Florida exacerbates water quality concerns, including from sewage.
It's just the systems, they can't handle it. It's a bit out of sight, out of mind. As long as there's no sewage bubbling up to the surface, it tends to go under the radar, so to speak. But that sewage is still percolating.
That's next time on Central Florida Seen and Heard, Rising Water, Part 2. Our podcast is produced by me, Molly Durig, and my fellow journalists at Central Florida Public Media, with assistance from our news director, Latoya Dennis, assistant news director, Brendan Byrne, and digital director, Ryan Ellison. I'm Molly Durig. Talk with you soon.